get step, kick, kick, deep, kick, touch. I get step, kick, kick, deep, kick, touch. I get step, kick, kick, deep, kick, touch. I get step, kick, kick, deep, kick, touch. Right. That connects with turn, turn, out, in, touch, step, step, kick, kick, deep, kick, touch. Got it? Going on. And turn, turn, touch, down, back, step, pivot, step. Walk, walk, walk. Right. Let's do the whole combination facing away from the mirror. From the top. A 5, 6, 7, 8.
And some of them, indeed. got it, got into the chorus line. I'm Andrew Pattner. Welcome to another edition of Critical Thinking. We're listening to some music today. We find ourselves in that little dip between summer and autumn seasons, and we thought we'd share some music related to some things going on around us in the world and other things just because we found them. But we'll tell you about that in a moment. I bet you recognize that. It's the opening cut, I Hope I Get It, the company performing from the original cast recording of 1975's A Chorus Line. We bring it to you today in memory of its composer, Marvin Hamlisch. We haven't had a chance to talk about Marvin Hamlisch since his wholly unexpected and very untimely death, August 6th in Los Angeles at the age of 68. Hamlisch, among various things, was one of a handful of EGOT holders. That is, he had Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Awards, and he was one of only two people to have those four and a Pulitzer Prize. The other one, Richard Rodgers. Interestingly, both of them New York City, Manhattan, born to Central European Jewish immigrants, and they racked them up, those prizes and accolades. Most of Hamlisch's attention came to him, of course, for the film score and the hit song from the film, The Way We Were, with Barbra Streisand. Also, the film score for the film The Sting, and his resetting of The Entertainer of Scott Joplin that dovetailed very nicely into the musical revival among artists of ragtime and brought it together with a large popular revival. And then, of course, there was A Chorus Line. The show, how did they put it, conceived, choreographed, and directed by the late Michael Bennett, book by James Kirkwood and Nicholas Dance, lyrics by Ed Kleban, co-choreographed by Bob Avian, and music by Marvin Hamlisch. And as if that all wasn't enough, and bear in mind again, this is a show about people trying to be in a show. Orchestrations were by Bill Byers and Hershey Kay and Jonathan Tunick. Robert Thomas was the music coordinator, Don Pippin, music director and vocal arranger, the whole thing produced by Goddard Lieberson for Columbia Records. Joseph Papp, having brought this all together through the New York Shakespeare Festival and the decades of Chorus Line running on Broadway all around the country and all around the world, helped to fuel so many other experimental and exciting, unusual efforts at New York Shakespeare, both downtown and in Central Park in New York. So Marvin Hamlisch, who very much understood the musical world of his parents and very much connected to the popular vein of music around him growing up in New York and then bicoastally in New York and Los Angeles as he made his life and career, A Chorus Line, such a connection for him. Let's go back and hear, well, we'll let the character tell you the name of this song.
I'm watching Cisco pitter-pat. Said I could do that, I could do that. Knew every step right off the bat. Said I could do that, I could do that. One morning Sis won't go to dance class. I grab her shoes and tights and all, but my foot's too small, so I stuff her shoes with extra socks. Run 7 blocks and nothing flat. Hell, I could do that, I could do that. And so I stayed the rest of my life.
As hokey as so much of this show can be, it still gets me every time I saw it for the first time. It must have been 1976 at the Schubert Theater when the national tour began and the year that the show won the Pulitzer Prize. And for somebody who'd always been fascinated by the theater world and remained so and went into it at least as a critic and sometimes even a performer professionally, nothing captures it. Nothing captures that feeling of the person who can come out of nowhere, grab that part, because I can do that. Well, let's hear from another quite romantic number of the show. That was Wayne Cilento, by the way, singing that for us. This was actually the last number played at the funeral of Marvin Hamlisch at Temple Emmanuel in New York, the same very synagogue where George Gershwin's funeral was held. And one of the eulogists was, in fact, the main eulogist was former President Bill Clinton. So here's a song that puts it together, particularly for the women who are thinking of dancing.
Daddy always thought that he married beneath him. That's what he said, that's what he said. When he proposed, he informed my mother he was probably her very last chance. And though she was 22, though she was 22, though she was 22, she married him. Life with my dad wasn't ever a picnic, more like a come-as-you-are. When I was 5, I remember my mother dug earrings out of the car. I knew that they weren't hers, but it wasn't something you'd want to discuss. He wasn't warm. Well, not to her. Well, not to us. But everything was beautiful at the ballet. Graceful men lift lovely girls in white. Yes, everything was beautiful at the ballet. I was happy at the ballet. That's when I started class. Up a steep and very narrow stairway to the voice like a metronome. Up a steep and very narrow stairway. It wasn't paradise.
It wasn't paradise.
It wasn't paradise, but it was home. Mother always said I'd be very attractive when I grew up, when I grew up. Different, she said, with a special something and a very, very personal flair. And though I was 8 or 9, though I was 8 or 9, I hated her. Now, different is nice, but it sure isn't pretty. Pretty is what it's about. I never met anyone who was different who couldn't figure that out. So beautiful, I'd never live to see. But it was clear, if not to her, well then to me, that everyone is beautiful at the ballet. Every prince has got to have his swan. Yes, everyone is beautiful at the ballet. I was pretty at the very narrow stairway to the voice like a metronome. Up a steep and very narrow stairway. It wasn't paradise.
But when my father came to pick my mother up at the hospital, he said, well, I thought this was going to help, but I guess it's not. Anyway, I did have a fantastic fantasy life. I used to dance around the living room with my arms up like this. My fantasy was that it was an Indian chief, and he'd say to me, Maggie, do you want to dance? And I'd say, Daddy, I would love to dance.
But it was clear when he proposed that I was born.
What you said.
I used to dance around the living room. He wasn't warm, not to her. It was an Indian chief, and he said, Maggie, do you want to dance? And I said, Daddy, I would love to. Everything was beautiful at the ballet.
At the Ballet, from A Chorus Line, words of Ed Kleban and music by the late Marvin Hamlisch. We heard there Carol Bishop, Nancy Lane, and Kay Cole. Ed Kleban comes up right now, too, because he not only wrote A Chorus Line, but after he died much, much too young, just 48 in 1987 of cancer, a show was put together by longtime friends and collaborators Linda Klein, K-L-I-N-E, and Lonnie Price. You've seen Lonnie Price's work at Ravinia and on television with the New York Philharmonic over the years, and he wrote, put together, and performed as Ed Kleban in this show, A Class Act. Well, A Class Act is right now having its Chicago premiere. It was a Tony Award-nominated musical. It's great fun. It's very sad. It's very happy. It's very interesting. It takes you behind the scenes with actors playing Michael Bennett and Marvin Hamlisch, as well as many other performers. And Bill Larkin is getting great reviews as Ed Kleban. Porchlight Theater is putting on this production at Theater Wit in that theater row at 1229 West Belmont. So a few blocks west of the Belmont L, just past Racine, 1229 West Belmont. It's a limited run only through October 7th. So that's Porchlight Theater at Theater Wit, bringing you A Class Act, the story of Ed Kleban, K-L-E-B-A-N, and A Chorus Line, and his other shows and his other efforts. Becky Menzie, wonderful pianist, will be playing for most of the run, and Doug Peck, music supervisor, wonderful artist too, both of them taking turns depending on their other schedules. Well, let's hear some more from Kleban and Hamlisch. How about what happens when you are told that in order to become an actor, you must learn to feel?
I'm so excited because I'm going to go to the High School of Performing Arts. I mean, I was dying to be a serious actress. Anyway, it's the first day of acting class, and we're in the auditorium, and the teacher, Mr. Clark, puts us up on the stage with our legs around everybody, one in back of the other, and he says, "Okay, we're going to do improvisations. Now, you're on a bobsled, and it's snowing out, and it's cold. Okay, go." Every day for a week we would try to feel the motion down the hill. Every day for a week we would try to hear the wind rush, feel the chill. And I dug right down to the bottom of my soul to see what I had inside. Yes, I dug right down to the bottom of my soul, and I tried, and everybody's going, shh. I feel the snow, I feel the cold, I feel the air, and Mr. Cop turns to me and he says, "Okay, Morales, what did you feel?" And I said, "Nothing, I'm feeling nothing." And he says, "Nothing could get a girl transferred." They all felt something, but I felt nothing, except the official visit that really was absurd. But I said to myself, "Hey, it's only the first week. Maybe it's genetic. They don't have bobsleds in San Juan." Second week, more advanced, and we had to be a table, be a sports car, ice cream cone. Mr. Carp, he would say, "Very good, except Morales, try Morales all alone." And I dug right down to the bottom of my soul to see how an ice cream felt. Yes, I dug right down. Actress, never. Jesus Christ. Went to church praying, "Santa Maria, send me guidance. Send me guidance on my knees." Went to church praying, "Santa Maria, help me feel it. Help me feel it, pretty please." And a voice from down at the bottom of my soul came up to the top of my head. And a voice from
Priscilla Lopez, Nothing. What a song and what a story. And that's a key part of a chorus line, too, because the show was developed and actually caused all kinds of legal complications as a result by Bennett, Kleban, and others doing taped interviews with gypsies, with the boys and girls who dance in chorus lines, who hope to make it in the show business. And these were almost like therapy sessions where people would tell these stories, let it all out. How did they do it? What stood in their ways, et cetera, et cetera. Priscilla Lopez told these stories of what happened to her at Music and Arts, what happened to her when the teacher died, what happened to her when she was trying to make it as a Latina. And she was then offered the role to play herself, under a different name, of course. She went on to a number of fine things. She actually received an Obie for Chorus Line, was nominated for Chorus Line for a Tony, and did receive a Tony Award for Day in Hollywood, A Night in the Ukraine, the Marx Brothers-based musical. She was recently in Anna in the Tropics, Straight Play, etc. So some people besides Donna McKechnie did come out of A Chorus Line, but particularly think that that one crystallizes Kleban and Hamlisch and Bennett's insights into how to bring out a story that's both universal and quite particular to this character and performer. Well, one of the biggest numbers of the show is, of course, a song that has one of the briefest titles in the business, and it's What Happens Once There Is That Chorus Line. So it's both a chorus line and it's about a chorus line. One. In a way, the title song of A Chorus Line, music by Marvin Hamlisch, lyrics by Ed Kleban, who died, gosh, a long time ago, 24 years ago, can it be? Indeed it is. Ed Kleban, the subject of A Class Act, which is running at Porchlight at Theater Wit, 1229 West Belmont, only through October 7. It's a quirky and wonderful show that's getting very good reviews, just pouring in now. Marvin Hamlisch, of course, who died last month at the age of 68, it appears that he was having all kinds of undiagnosed and perhaps not even symptomatic health problems in the days before his quite sudden death in Los Angeles on August 6th. We mentioned Ms. Lopez Priscilla, P-R-I-S-C-I-L-L-A, Lopez, L-O-P-E-Z, who was the basis for Diana Morales, one of the main characters in A Chorus Line. And here is another of the big numbers, the 11 o'clock number, another one that will always be associated with Marvin Hamlisch.
Kiss today goodbye. The sweetness and the sorrow. Wish me luck the same to you. But I can't regret what I did for love. What I did for love. Look, my eyes are dry. The gift was ours to borrow. It's as if we always knew. I won't forget what I did for love, what I did for
I did fall.
Priscilla Lopez and the company What I Did for Love from the original cast recording of A Chorus Line, 1975. If you've never seen the 1985 film by Richard and at some point Sir Richard Attenborough, I think you don't need to see it. I never cared for it. Roger Ebert did like it, and always respect Roger. Maybe another viewing would make me think differently about it. But put the show on, or go see the show, or listen to the CD or other recording if you like. But I don't think you need the movie. It's a theatrical piece. We're going to come back to a little Marvin Hamlisch at the end of the show. But I thought it would be interesting to play something by someone you might not immediately connect with Marvin Hamlisch. And before I tell you more about that, I want to say that I had to run an errand up to Niles because my friend Laura Emmerich from the Sun-Times had found two pretty rare opera recordings, complete opera recordings, were being held at a place called Half Price Books up on West Toohey in Niles. Well, my engineer, producer, Matt DeStefano, was waving his hand there as I mentioned that. It was all new to me, and I had to do everything but hire somebody to pull me out of the place once I found Delius's A Village Romeo and Juliet, and, of course, the deathless Semirama of Respighi. Once I found those, I did allow myself $25, and I was able to get Chorus Line and a few others that we're going to hear from. So I do have to say, I'm so happy that even if bookstores and record stores don't exist anymore, that somebody's pulling it all together, the pre-owned and the remaindered and so on, and finding amazing, diverse stuff in good condition and making it possible for us to hold these physical relics in our hands, read them, and listen to them once again. So I mentioned a connection there. Marvin Hamlisch went for high school to what is now known as the Juilliard Pre-College Division on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Our next artist went to the Juilliard Conservatory itself. She was about 10 years older than Hamlisch, so I don't think that they overlapped. And interestingly, each of these very different artists found his or her own voice by going very deeply in to the old American popular song repertoire of the early to mid 20th century. Let's hear this, and then I'll remind you of who it is if you haven't guessed already. Thank you.
He cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races. Baby don't care for. He don't care for high-toned places. Liz Taylor is not his style. And even Liberace's smile. Something he can't see. Is something he can't see. I wonder what's wrong with baby. My baby just cares for.
Simone gets me every time, doesn't she? Get You as well, recorded in 1957, released on her first album from the old Bethlehem Records in 1958. My Baby Just Cares for Me. And the song goes all the way back to 1930. Walter Donaldson and Gus Kahn wrote it for the film version of, I think it was Ziegfeld of 1928, starring Eddie Cantor. Whoopee! And here comes Nina Simone, classically trained African-American performer, and she goes into that song, this trivial song, and she turns it into something spirited and elegant and hilarious and moving. And, of course, she had some great support there, Jimmy Bond on bass, and one of the great session drummers with one of the great names, Tootie Heath, on drums. If you Google around, maybe we can put a link up or something, there is a great claymation of this song involving, I believe, their cats in a nightclub. Peter Lord did it for Aardmore Animation. It's one of the best claymations around. You may also remember from the 80s, there was a Chanel No. 5 commercial. I don't know that Nina Simone saw anything from those things, but maybe she did. She was a tough, tough cookie. And an amazing woman in so many ways, musically, politically, so many ways. Let's hear another example of what she was able to do with a Kahn and Donaldson number. Here's Love Me or Leave Me.
Love me or leave me and let me be lonely. You won't believe me, but I love you only. I'd rather be lonely than happy with somebody else. You might find the nighttime the right time for kissing. Nighttime is my time for just reminiscing. Regretting instead of forgetting with somebody else. There'll be no one unless that someone is you. I intend to be independently blue. Want your love, don't wanna borrow. Have it today to give back tomorrow. Your love is my love. There's no love for nobody else.
believe me, but I love you only. I'd rather be lonely than happy with somebody else. You might find the nighttime the right time for kissing. Nighttime is my time for just reminiscing, regretting instead of forgetting with somebody else. There'll be no one unless that someone is you. I intend to be independently blue. Say, hey, I want your love. Don't wanna borrow. Have it today to give back tomorrow. Your love is my love. My love is your love. And there's no love for nobody else.
Nina Simone, Mining, Kahn and Donaldson. That one goes back to the original Ziegfeld stage show of 1928, The Follies of 28. Ruth Etting, America's Sweetheart of Song, Shine on Harvest Moon, etc., sang that original version. But you got to have the fugues. You got to have the descants. You got to have Nina Simone's voice to make the real Love Me or Leave Me. There again with Jimmy Bond and Tutti Heath, making up the rhythm section, and that also from that original recording, 1958 release, Little Girl Blue. I found it at Half Price Books on a Charlie Anglo-French re-release from the 90s, My Baby Just Cares for Me, a compilation from the Great Bethlehem Records recordings that Ms. Simone made, 1933 to 2003, I believe, Nina Simone's dates. Well, we want to thank Matt DeStefano for letting us spin these discs and making them sound great. As usual, we want to thank our funders, Alpha Wood Foundation, Dick and Susie Kippart, and other friends of this program. What did you think? Drop us a line, Rentap. That's Patner spelled backwards, R-E-N-T-A-P, at AOL.com. Or the chime-in feature at WFMT.com or Facebook, WFMT. We'd like to hear from you in any way, shape, or form, and you can hear this or any of our other shows again at WFMT.com/critical thinking, the always free and international intergalactic Critical Thinking podcast. I did pick up a couple more recordings, but we're just going to have to listen to those later because I think, for the sake of old Marvin Hamlisch, we've got to go out with the end of Chorus Line, and we're going to do that. The reprise of one and the company Finale Ultimo. I also want to mention again that you can hear music of Hamlisch and words of Kleban, and you can even see them all portrayed on stage in A Class Act, Porchlight, presenting it at Theater Huit through October 7. Only 1229 West Belmont. And they've got a fine lineup for the season, The Gifts of the Magi, Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill, and Pal Joey, and maybe one other. I can't quite tell if this is an in-joke or what. But in any event, you know where to find the live music. You know where to find the recorded music. Here's to Marvin Hamlisch. I'm Andrew Patner. We'll see you next week.
Sensation, every little step he takes. One. along, join the parade. She's a quintessence of making the grade. This is what you call trying.